Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Cobiello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to mitigate crises and help teams get back on track. This podcast is about helping the C-suite leader to navigate challenges with confidence. For today's leader, I'm here to help you get back on track. Tomorrow's leader, let me partner with you to learn the secrets of the C-suite. Wherever you're at in your career, this is the podcast for you. Hello, I am Deb Cobiello, the Drop-In CEO, and I am grateful you've returned for another episode of the podcast, where week after week, I have the distinct pleasure of interviewing amazing guests who provide their insights and service to you, C-suite leaders of today and tomorrow, but usually during the process, I do hope they inspire you. And if you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, but ultimately share it with others so they can enjoy this amazing resource. And just know, I do this sincerely because I want to help the C-suite leader of today and those of tomorrow to navigate their challenges with confidence. And today, I am so grateful to bring back onto the show Todd Wilkowski. He focuses his practice on serving private, closely held, and/or family-owned businesses as their outside general counsel and trusted advisor on all legal and risk issues. He has a wealth of experience, many, many years in this area, but also I want to highlight the fact as a prior career Air Force officer, he has a unique background as well in construction law, where he advises companies on a myriad of legal issues affecting the industry in both private practice and as general counsel. And he does work for an amazing company, Frost Brown Todd. We're going to get much more into that, but Todd, I'd love to welcome you back onto the show.
It is really great to be back, Deb. Thanks for having me back.
And we are both in the Cincinnati area in each other's backyard. We have even enjoyed a beverage together. A beautiful person. He's got a great family. And I'm just so excited to bring his voice and sound insights back onto the show. So thank you again. So we are going to spend a little bit more time on his work. And the reason why I wanted to bring him back on again, we touched on him as a person in our last episode, and we touched on the work and what differentiates him. But the work that he does with his company, Frost Brown Todd, is so, so critical to the small and medium-sized businesses, those CEOs, first, second generation that are, they've got an amazing business, but sometimes along the way, they may need legal advice. And sometimes in that profession, you might hold back from reaching out, from sound advice, from getting a partner. But I want to change the mindset with those leaders because what Frost Brown Todd brings, and especially Todd, is something quite unique in terms of their services and providing value. But what I wanted to first talk about, Todd, with you is just the culture of the company. One of the things that what I read up on your company was the fact that you really recognize your team members, that it's very collaborative relationships in your organization. Sometimes it could be a bit cutthroat when you think of the law field, but I would love to know more about the culture of the company because you're trying to build a great place to work. When you got great culture, your customers, your clients are going to realize that. So tell me a little bit more about the culture of the company.
Sure, I'm happy to. I've been at another law firm. It was a great firm. And I certainly worked with a number of firms when I was GC. I've been at Frost Brown Todd. It'll be 10 years in June, which is hard to believe. It's really flown by. But the approach that I've taken as an outsider fractional general counsel does not work without the seedbed of a culture like Frost Brown Todd. One of the things Frost Brown Todd brings is 600 attorneys in 14, 15 different states all over the footprint. We touch a lot of different places. Well, that's great. But since I am a generalist, since I am a consigliere, and I am a connector, and I am a quarterback, I need to have a bench of specialists that I can call wherever our strength is. You know, certain places like Indianapolis and Cincinnati are the strength of our IP practice, or Cincinnati is the strength of our environmental practice, oil and gas out of Pittsburgh, Texas, or Houston. I want to be able to go to not only an expert in maybe it's employment law, or maybe it's in tax, or maybe it's in a variety of areas. But if I can get to an industry team expert, then I really can be able to not learn on the client's dime, connect them with someone who's actively working in that space, and is going to feel much more comfortable with that get to yes advice versus they're learning it and it's going to be so overly risk averse that it's not going to be value of the client. But the only way that that can work is if I know who that person is and I call them, they don't pick up the phone and say, hey, Todd, well, yeah, thanks for calling, but that's not my client and I'm really busy with my own. Or, well, thanks for calling, but what's in it for me, right? Because if that's the seedbed, it doesn't work. It's not quick. And then what I know already is that person is not going to take ownership of the client like I would and not view them as serving them timely and really building relationship like I would to be an extension of me as their outside GC. The way simply I can explain that is a lot of law firms, they reward two types of individuals. They reward the people that go out and hunt the rainmakers and get the work, and they reward the grinders and the people that do the work, or really that have a certain specialty that they can bill at such a high rate that that brings their profitability. But there's someone in the middle that doesn't get recognized. And I think that's part of the secret sauce of Frost, Brown, Todd, because I think we've discussed it. Compensation drives behavior. Whatever the organization is. And so in our particular organization, we recognize the finders, the binders, the minders, and the grinders. Because the finders would be what I do a lot of, right? I'm a rainmaker and I go out and I find new relationships and I bring in business. The grinders are the ones that are back there grinding it out and providing the work product and advice. Oh, well, I'm providing advice. The binders are the ones that are running the firm. Because right, with a firm of 600 attorneys, over 1,000 people, you got to have strategy. You've got your HR, you've got your, you know, your marketing, you've got all these different things. So somebody's got to be making sure that ship is rowing in the same direction and hopefully together for synergy. But we reward as well the binders. And the binders are the farmers. And we call them development attorneys. And what the development attorneys do is we either bring, like in my model, since I'm the generalist, I bring that person in as part of actually even marketing our services. And so they get credit if we're able to land the client or the land the new matter for doing that. But even better, then it's not a complete handoff, but they often are the ones that are going to be doing the ongoing service of the client and looking for those opportunities where we might be able to provide other services and deepening the relationship with them, which is so critical because honestly, the finder isn't necessarily like, you know, we have a lot of relationships, but they're about this then, and we're off to the next one. So I think that's what really makes it work because then it creates a team mentality. Again, most firms do not have that. I wish that would change, but without that, the outside general counsel services group, it does not succeed.
First of all, I'm just going to say I'm entranced by your storytelling. You're very good at this and need to do more of it. Because sometimes when you just are so excited and passionate about your story, you bring me in, you're bringing our listeners in. And then I have to kind of recoup and say, okay, what was my next question? But listen, we're going to stay here a little bit. Because what I love about this is I talk in terms of like leading and lagging indicators and rewarding, and maybe that's not the right thing, but rewarding things that matter only to the firm, even though they say they're in service to the client, it's really all in service to the firm. And when you talk about building a culture that rewards those people that have and incur and are encouraged to maintain those relationships, and actually even you as the finder, it is about the relationship because it's not just now about that first encounter and how we can serve them. And I know we're going to talk about this later, but how do you maintain that relationship, not just when they cry help, but when they just need an ongoing partner that they can trust. You lead your company, Frost, Brown, Todd leads with a client-centric mentality and rewarding people for those client-centric results versus just, and of course, you still need to, the billings, the finders, the rainmakers as well. So I really love that. I just wanted to compliment you on that. It is so different and the legal profession does need to change.
And we like to say there's a term that one of my clients, I helped him trademark, and it's called relational. And so what does that mean? It means we always lead with relationships. The transactions have to follow, right? You have to monetize at some point, but the transactions, the advice, the work product is going to be so much better utilized and of utility and customized and tailored for the client when you know them versus it's just a one-off reactionary transaction, which honestly, that's a lot of where legal services are right now and why, you know, like you said, people are hesitant to call because they don't have a relationship with that individual. They don't see the value. They typically just get told no all the time and all the reasons they shouldn't do what they know they need to do versus, let me hear you out. What looks like success to you? And how can I help you get to yes on that issue? Because what am I passionate about? What is my team? Growth. Growth, not playing defense all the time. Growth, creating more jobs, having companies really be great stewards of their resources and be able to move into new markets and create new distribution channels and hire more people. And those people put more people through college and put food on tables, right? That's what gets my team and I really excited. Not, no, you can't do that. Because the reality is, Deb, you know, they're going to do it anyways. So we're either going to be a business partner and an advisor, or they're just not going to call us again. And if they don't, shame on us, right? Because we didn't provide any value.
So I love these insights. And while we may be under the guise of an outside general counsel firm, legal advice, et cetera, listen to what Todd has to say, because if you are a C-suite leader, a CEO of a company, or you're trying to up and coming, leading with value, leading with the client in mind, yes, you do need to get results, but focusing on these relationships first. And if you're in a patient environment, trust me, the results are going to come. So I really appreciate how aligned you are with my brand. But let's just talk about your company has been evolving, ever evolving, your marketing messages, et cetera. And I understand that you are starting to launch a new marketing acronym. And it's very, very interesting. And I want to take our listeners. So just tell us a little bit more about your value proposition here.
No, I appreciate it. And, you know, when we talked the first time, which was, gosh, almost a year ago, hard to believe, I told you that as we were really figuring out what this was, and really in some ways, like in the blue ocean, right? Differentiating itself from other legal services and breaking the paradigm that a lawyer is a lawyer is a lawyer. They do all the same thing, but also really listening to the market and figuring out what is it that the market really needs that they don't have. And so what we talked about on the first podcast was we came up with, we know they want advice. What kind of advice? And so that 5-point was strategic, proactive, get to yes, risk leveraging from a trusted advisor, like someone who had gotten to know your business and really had built your trust. That is how we've gone to market now for many years. But I love acronyms. And I also think that the critical thing is not that you're putting anybody else down, but you're really listening to what other people want. And, you know, frankly, I had the benefit of, I was a general counsel. I worked in a company. I was a consumer of services. And then I knew what really helped me and helped me serve as a trusted business partner in the C-suite with the company I was at. And so I was working with my team, trying to get them excited and really trying to, as we've learned more and more about kind of where we can bring great value and listening to our clients, we came up with the acronym VROOM. We can walk through what VROOM is, but the one thing that I'd say that's been a huge differentiator as well, Deb, is working with, we have a great pricing team. We have a great legal project management team. And where we believe this model is always going to work best, right? Which is highly relational and trying to get people away from just fearing the specter of the meter every time they call, right? Because that's clearly going to be an impediment for them to call, is we've developed more and more systematically a monthly retainer. So that's been huge. I mean, what do clients not want? They don't want surprises. And they want to measure what it's going to look like. And so most people cannot provide that to them. Smaller firms can't because they can't carry. And typically in a process like this, the first couple of months, incredibly high utility, especially when you're going on with a new client, because you're having to review what they have in place, what they don't, and what they have in place may be super old and has to be upgraded. And then you're putting processes in place that hopefully, you know, you can maintain versus over time. And so some of the other months aren't going to maybe be as heavy use. But so being able to measure what we think it's going to be over 12 months, giving them a clear scope and assumptions, what's in and what's not in, because there's going to be things that aren't in, litigation, M&A, IP transactional work versus just that 15-30 minute phone call with an IP attorney. But then in those things, the beautiful thing is it's measurable. We do a true up at 6 months because it's got to be a 12-month engagement. right? If they were to cut it off at 3 months, we're going to lose every time because we've got so much invested. No matter how we've calculated the retainer, it's not going to cover what we did. When we do the true up, we show you everything that we did. First of all, we go, hey, how'd we do? How's the client experience been for you? Have we delivered on what we sold you, right? I mean, no different from any other business. And where are the areas where we, you know, that we've seen, now that we know your company better, where we might be able to provide more services to you? Not stuff you don't need, like sell you stuff you don't need. We built trust. We know your business better. We're seeing these with other clients. This might be a way that we can help you. And then after 12 months, we do a final true up. It is funny, right? Because everybody's always wondering about, everybody wants a win-win relationship, but I think sometimes clearly the clients in this, because it's new, they just think it's going to be a win-lose. So they either go, well, Todd, why can't I just call you when I need you? I'm like, well, you can, but this is going to allow me to pick up the phone and not have to go a bunch of research or have you basically re-educate me on your dime, which is really, really expensive and it takes too much time. But I said, the other thing is, with this model, for you and for us, it removes the specter of the meter. So you know you're already paying us. And so you're going to encourage different people within your organization, your HR person, your operational person, your IT person. We have experts in the legal areas on all those specialties to start calling my people. So we deepen the relationship, the understanding of you. They don't have to come through me once we have a really good contact set up, right? There's direct communication. And we literally are integrated into their team. And that's just honestly simply by removing the meter, because it's such an impediment right now for clients who might want to use our services, but are like so reluctant to do it until they have to. And so that's been to kind of kick the vroom off. That would be the V. That would be the value, right? The value added service instead of the current transactional model, which is very inefficient. And frankly, it doesn't promote a relationship with the client.
So what I really love about this, and you just really tie this together really well, the Vroom framework for how you manage a relationship. You run this law entity more like a business. When you think about business owner to business owner, it's all about relationships, but the legal profession has always been seen as expensive and transactional. But when you lead with V or the value, you're trying to show where the value comes from that partner, that they're there for you anytime without really worrying about the expense. Because I'll tell you, when people have a short-sighted mindset and said, you know, I'm just going to call you when I need you, that's going to be very, very expensive. That's a short-sighted crisis management mindset. And a true leader that has the courage to say, I just want a business partner, somebody I can pick up the phone with to avoid a crisis, to say yes, or what are the possibilities? I'm thinking of doing that. You can't do that with somebody that, like you say, doesn't know you very well, might pass you off to somebody else. You might not get on their calendar for some time. They need you now. So I think regardless of the cost structure, leaders are looking for value. And that will help them sleep at night. So I love the way you start your marketing, your approach that way.
Yeah. Well, and you've seen this, right? I mean, we've got attorneys here, and I was a litigator, and I'm so grateful I was. I'm not a litigator anymore. But they get a call, and it's like, we got sued. Because, right, the client's finally like, I got to call the lawyer. I got sued. I can't do this anymore. And the lawyer sits there and goes, gosh, I wish they would have called me earlier. I could have maybe navigated through this and we could have maybe avoided litigation, maintained the relationship, whatever it might have been. And the client's sitting there going, well, I don't even know you. Like, well, why would I call you? And I don't know you that you could provide value in a proactive versus a reactive manner. And so somehow we've got to overcome that. And I think why this really helps is, you know, intuitively, the firm might say, well, if you're doing that, then you're really costing us dollars, because litigation can be very expensive and big dollars for the firm. But I think what we come back and say is, no, we're getting a lot more touches with a client. And that, after a while, volume-wise, is going to add up. If you're just thinking numbers, but really more so, it's going to be touches. And then you're going to have that opportunity to then be able to market and to be able to promote all these other things that are there that they either weren't aware that they need it, or when they find out they need it, it's really cool. They go, anymore, they call me and they don't go, hey, Todd, can you do that? They'll go, hey, Todd, who do you know that can do this? I'm like, no offense. I'm happy to connect to you because I've got this great team. And You know, but they wouldn't have even thought about that before. And so the last thing I want to make on this is, point as we're building this thing, right, you've got to recognize what your market is and recognize where your skills and your strengths are. And people will hear this all the time from me. I'm not a publicly held company GC. And I'm just not wired that way. Like, I'm not like, I eat compliance for breakfast. Compliance to me, honestly, is suffocating. Like, I am a creative problem solver. I don't want to have to operate inside the box, right? We need to operate legally, don't get me wrong, but I want to be able to give solutions to them that are just not, well, you have to do it this way. And so what's been really cool about the way we leverage our resources is going back to the V, right? Everything starts with the V, the value, is we're a big firm. And so we recognize, you know, my market for this starting out as small to medium-sized businesses, growing in scale, culturally, financially, cannot afford a general counsel. But if they recognize the competitive value that a general counsel could bring as an advisor up front, they'd probably be interested. And so we fractionalize it. And so what that allows us to do, and the only way we can provide value, like if we do it the traditional legal way, and you call me up and I do everything. Well, I'm going to research the employment law and I'm going to research and I'm going to try to file a patent for you, right? There's not value there. Whereas I may have somebody, they're $100, $150 more, right, than the generalist, but they can do that in 5 hours versus like 20. And yeah, well, they might be more expensive here. Not only, and it's not a commodity play, not only is it ultimately going to be less expensive, but the product and the advice you're going to get is going to be so much better. Because you've got somebody who works with that stuff regularly and they can incorporate lessons learned and best practices into that for you and also be able to hear you and be aware of so many other patterns and ways to get you to yes than, well, I just read this in the book and this is the only way. There's always another way.
You know, you also just did a soft pitch for the work that I do as a fractional leader as well. Again, people ask me, are you a chief quality officer, chief operations officer? I said, I become whatever my client needs me to be, whether it's my technical skills or somebody behind me. And again, like you, I got 300 or 400 people I have interviewed, know that I can pull in as a resource. I'm even doing that for a flavor company right now as well. But I'm not too cheap either. But because those who have hired me have recognized the fact I can solve the problem pretty quickly, get them to peace of mind, but also on a retainer model, how can I prevent them from getting into a crisis in the future? I wanted to take a moment to remind you that a recent study showed nearly 60% of leaders feel depleted at the end of the day. And this feeling is a key indicator of burnout and makes it difficult to lead and inspire others. If you've ever experienced that restless exhaustion, you know why CEOs are amongst the most likely candidates for experiencing job frustration. I wrote The CEO's Compass, your guide to get back on track, to confront those feelings and create a plan that is sustainable for you and your organization. I created a 7-point assessment that will help you figure out your problems in days, not months. And it includes so many resources, worksheets, videos, and much, much more. If this is you, please head over to my website, dropinceo.com, and click on my products, The CEO's Compass, and order yours on Amazon or other outlets. And now, back to the conversation. Now, I am going to hit on something that you said. Don't know if you realize this, but there's a couple things, is that you talked about the number of touch points. The number of touch points is a leading indicator of future success for your company, whereas others measure by lagging indicators about number of clients, billing hours, and how much did you get at that jury trial or what have you. By measuring by the number of touches, you're building credibility, building trust, and let your clients sustain you and build the business with you. So again, that's a differentiator, is leading by the number of touches. So that's beautiful. I'm just curious, though, this is going through my mind here. We're deviating a little bit from all of this value that you're providing, but you are really totally like not even competing with other law firms. You are a completely differentiating model. Do you see yourself as such? I'm just curious. Like, people are going to start chasing you and follow this model, being a leader that others aren't.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really do. We mentioned it on the last, I'm an abundance mentality person. I'm an ENFP in an ISTJ world, right? It's like, you know, sometimes I've looked at it as clearly the oddball, but what it allows me to do, being an E and a pure relational person, is recognize also what's coming down the pike and what's already here. And really what's already here is, and everybody's asking the question, how's AI going to impact my industry? And I don't have all the answers to that, but what I do know is AI most certainly is going to replace some of the things that we do, including some of the things we do to train our associates, right? It's going to be able to do some of the preliminary research that they did before. It's going to be able to do some of the preliminary drafting of pleadings that we did before. But as my chairman at Frost Brown Todd, Robert Sarton, said in our retreat last year, we shouldn't fear AI, because the reality is what AI is going to do, it's going to free us up to do more of what we actually enjoy doing and where we're bringing the value. And that's in advising our clients, strategizing with them, right? Analyzing that information, that's raw data, and how it works in their situation, which is truly advice. So I get really excited about these frontiers. We're going to have to do it differently, but it's going to draw us back to what unites you and me and anybody else that's in the fractional outsourced space. That is relational, right? And advisory and contact with the ownership or the leadership group. We are not consultants. We are not project-based. We are building a relationship. And in many cases, as you know, there's no defined duration necessarily of our engagement. It's really worth thinking all the time about the organization and how we might be working ourselves out of a job for the benefit of the company to eventually either train their internal resources or help them to onboard someone who can take on our position. And we leave it better than what we found it. And then what do? We go on to the next company and we help them, right? Because there's so many companies out there to be helped. So getting around to your question, one of the best books I ever read, when I joined Baker Concrete, the CEO of the company, Dan Baker, incredibly generous, street smart individual, didn't finish college, started his concrete company after his freshman year and dropped out of Miami University. Now he's built nuclear silos and stadiums and, I mean, built a almost $2 billion company. But I asked him, I said, you are a voracious reader. What are you reading? Because I don't have an MBA. And as my CFO told me 2 or 3 days before, he goes, I know you don't have an MBA. You just got to remember one thing about business. You only run out of cash once. And I said, okay, well, that's helpful. But like, is there any other, like, I want to know what the boss is reading and what he's thinking. And so he gave me 5 books. One was The Fifth Discipline by Peter Senge. And cool enough, Dan sent me to be on a retreat in Vermont with Peter Senge and the Society of Organizational Learning and from MIT at Peter Von Trapp's Lodge. Cool experience. Peter's an amazing dude. The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell, who I think is just, right, the guru in my mind of leadership. 5 Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni. I know you're a fan. I'm a huge fan of Patrick on so many levels. In fact, I also got to meet him at a meeting, and he's terrific, and he's an ENFP, so we really connect. And then, of course, I'm talking, I'm trying to remember what the other book was, but the fifth book was The Blue Ocean Strategy. And that book so impacted me because, I guess to just summarize it, they talked about the red ocean is the ocean of commodity. And it's everybody doing it the same way, providing the same services. And why is it red? Because it's bloody. Because if you're doing it the exact same way, then, the other one was Good to Great by Jim Collins. So the key thing is to find within that space and kind of alluding to Jim Collins, right? Jim Collins says, why did so many of these companies fail? Well, they got the hubris to decide, well, I do this well, so I can do all these things well. And then they focused all their energy on that and off the golden goose and off they went. They failed. So Blue Ocean Strategy says, that's correct. You don't go out, but within your space, where's the blue ocean? And so, and as I've shared with people, I go, there was the Ringling Brothers Circus, there was the Shriner Circus, and then there was Cirque du Soleil. And Cirque du Soleil is still a circus, but it's completely different, right? There's no animals. There's wild music. There's contortionists. And it's cool. And people are willing to pay more for that because it's different and it's value and it's hitting them where they are. And so that's exactly what this thing is. It's different. Like, it's a differentiator, but we know that it's what people desire. starting with, they want a deep relationship with an advisor, a trusting relationship, and not just with me, with you and with the other people on their group, because then, right, they get from a trusted advisor this 360 advice and people seeing it and different blind spots where they can utilize all of that, not silo all of them, but bring them together to grow and to be better informed as they tackle the opportunities and the risks. So love Blue Ocean Strategy. And anybody who's listening that hasn't read it, make that one of your next books. It completely changed my paradigm then and now when I was trying to build this practice within Frost, Brown, Todd.
I love that. And I think that is the one of those five books that you referenced that I have not read. But what I will tell you, because I hate, somebody said, stay within the lines. I had a contract job where they said, thank you for your ideas, but just stay within the lines. And that irked me. I cannot stay within the lines. Yes, technically I have to comply with certain standards, but don't hold me back. I need to stand out. There are other consultants, there are other business coaches, there are other fractional leaders. But I said, I am the drop-in CEO. And I have been told that it's cool and you have to stand out. And I got a podcast and all of that stuff because I needed to be able to be seen amidst that vast ocean of other people that can serve. And like you, you are trying to stand out with a differentiating model to be in service to clients first. And in the process, the belief is that the rewards will come, the bills will get paid, and you'll be able to continue to serve over and over again.
And the beautiful thing too, Deb, as you know, is that client you referenced before that wanted you just to draw within the lines. My guess is unless they came around, you don't represent them anymore. Because once you understand what you are and where your value is and what it's not, that's, say, sadly, but it's just been the consequence over the last 2 or 3 years where I had to part ways with clients and I really liked them, but it was just really that one-off transactional that they wanted that they had with their attorney. And I didn't really have access to their leadership team. They were just, well, we just want legal advice, blah, blah, blah. And I just said, well, that's fine. I got about 1,000 attorneys I can refer you to, but that's not my highest and best use. And so I'm going to be intellectually honest with you. You don't need me if that's the way you're going to operate. And one actually was like, okay, well, let's talk more about that. And we salvaged the relationship. The other was fine. That's the way they were. And I was able to refer them to get them to somebody else. And they're doing just fine. But you know who you are and you know who you're not. You know what your value is. You know what your value isn't. And then that's going to help you to not only look for the right clients, but also decide who you're going to retain.
So what I want to do is share with my audience a little bit more the acronym VROOM in its entirety, because you've been very, very good about talking about the value proposition and what differentiates you as a service provider, a client-centric entity versus just the say no legal advice company. And so because this is really important, because I think anybody can take these insights, whether it's how you manage yourself or how you manage your business, because this is what matters and this is what's going to differentiate. And so VROOM stands for value, relational, responsiveness, relevance, having the right resources, and as you know, what Todd talked about is measurable and being accountable for providing value to our clients and checking in as a number two or a business partner, not just a transactional service. What a differentiator. So you have been an amazing guest twice on the Drop-In CEO podcast. I am grateful to know you, grateful for you providing such insight to my audience. And hopefully there's a leader out there that might say, you know what, I'd rather be proactive, get some proactive legal relationship now so that I never get in a place where I have to pick up the phone and be in trouble. I would love to give you the floor one last time to connect and say something to my audience or how best to connect with you before we bring this to a close.
Great. Well, again, I appreciate you always ask the best questions, and it's because you're in the space, right? You get the fractional value of the model, whether it's the CMO, CEO, CFO, you know, just fill in the blank. And I think what I'd like to leave the audience with is this. The reason why the VROOM works, you know, the relational, start with relational, the responsiveness, the resources, all of that resonates and it makes sense is because in the life cycle of the business, we can be there for them. For a small to medium-sized firm, they can be relational. They have less clients. They can early be responsive. But at some point, they don't have the bench, they don't have the resources, and they don't have the specialists to really provide the resources, the responsiveness, right? Because if somebody's busy, you pull into somebody else. That business is going to need as it sophisticates, grows on its growth cycle. So the thing why this has really been working with Frost, Brown, Todd is we can start with a company that's 5 million and then have them grow up to 350, 400, maybe even more million when they add that last piece typically to their C-suite, which is their general counsel. And so that's fun because then you can be part of that whole growth cycle and involved in it and really just feel a sense of pride and ownership that you were part of the team that accomplished that, which is why I love construction, because you can see the buildings you built and that's pretty cool stuff that's going to outlast you. So yeah, my goal ultimately is we've created a very successful practice. I'm working with a number of attorneys within the firm who are already wired this way, just to be able to give them kind of something they can articulate to the market that is blue ocean, is different, and that just mentoring and developing them so they can operate in this manner, which is so much more fulfilling than that one-off transactional bite the tongue, I got to call the lawyer thing. And so I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about the future of that. And I'm excited about, I think what we're going to do here, I think, as you said, more people need it. We're going to transform the industry. And we have to. We have to be relevant in this new economy. So I'm happy to be along the journey with you as a fractional executive and with other fractional executives. It's a growing community. I was on a talk today and I had somebody from Spain and UK and Canada. They're all doing this work and clients are clamoring for it. And so look forward to the journey with you. And if anybody wants to contact me, again, I love talking about this and I love learning more about business. And Lord knows I'm an extreme extrovert. So I love meeting more people on my dime, right? Not on their nickel. I'd love to talk to them, find out more about their business, tell them more about what we're doing. And start building a relationship. It's a long game. And if somewhere down the road it worked out, I'd be happy to work with them.
So Todd, thank you so much for, again, providing so much insight and inspiration. I appreciate you dropping in on the podcast, wishing you well as your company continued success in serving the same kind of clients. So wish you well and thank you again.
You as well, Deb. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to the Drop In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. If you found this valuable, please share this show with at least one friend who will find it useful and inspiring. When you share this podcast, it allows me to continue to help C-suite leaders of today and tomorrow to navigate their challenges with confidence. To connect with me or learn more about the Drop-In CEO services, go to my website at dropinceo.com. And until we meet, I wish you well and much success.